listened good. Now, if you did good and you listened good tonight and your parents said it's okay, I got a whole case of Ring Pops back here in the back, and I'll give them to you one at a time, and you can enjoy yourself, okay? But you got to be willing to say thank you. Remember that, okay? Learn the lesson of thank you. All right, now I know that's not Awanas, but we're going to have a good time telling the children's story every week. I think next week might be, if you've got a favorite story, come tell me. And I'll try to put it on the list, and we'll tell that favorite story, okay? Somebody's already told me they want to hear about David and Goliath. Somebody else said Daniel, lion's den, but those are the only two I've got. So I'm going to put them on the list. So if you've got a favorite Bible story, come tell Pastor, and I'll put it on the list, and we'll tell it, okay? Because I want you to learn all the lessons of Scripture from those Bible lessons. Have your Bibles tonight. Mom and Dad and the children, listen tonight, because I won't be long, but it's an important lesson. In 2 John, last week in Awanas, we were going through our outline, and we got through Roman numeral 2A, 1, and got through the A, B, C, and D, the little ones. Now, I just want to refresh your memory. As we looked into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's speaking about the judgment seat of Christ. Now, read with me, if you would, 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, that's the point of emphasis of this verse. Now, understand tonight, a full reward. What's he talking about? Now, he's speaking to every person in this room. He was speaking to this lady here. If you look in verse 1, the elder, that's John, unto the elect lady and her children. So we think that this was to a specific lady that was a friend of his and her children. So he's writing to an older lady, a mother, and to children that probably are old enough to understand that they're living their life for rewards to Christ. They're living their life for a purpose. So maybe teenage children, but they had a great testimony. And I want you to notice he was concerned about them, and he said, look to yourselves. Now, the reason he was concerned about them was not that they were not living right, but that there were deceivers and antichrists in their area. There were people coming to their churches and saying, hey, let me tell you about this new religion, and they were twisting the gospel. It even happens today. And you'll notice in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world. Now, one of the ways you can tell a deceiver is who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The real issue was they didn't believe Jesus was God. They didn't believe in his deity, so they couldn't be saved. Because Jesus has to die for you and raise himself from the dead for you and be saved. So notice, if you would, in Roman numeral 2a, number 1, little a, we lose rewards when we have the wrong motive. We looked at that last week. When we do things for the wrong reason. It's an easy way to lose rewards. For instance, you could come to church tonight because your parents made you, and you don't get a real reward for that. Now, at least you won't get a full reward. Notice, if you would, B, we can lose rewards if we serve with a poor attitude. If you whine and complain, or if you and I in our heart gripe or complain about various things in our lives that we're supposed to do that are right, you can lose your reward. Now, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's gold, silver, and precious stone. I believe any time we do the right thing, there's a reward for it. But we don't gain a full reward unless we do it with the right motive, unless we do it with the right attitude, and notice, see, with our best effort. We do it with all of our hearts. There's something that everybody in this room, you love to do. I mean, you love to do it. I want you to just share with me tonight, what is one of your favorite activities to do? Maybe it's fishing, maybe it's hunting, maybe it's playing golf or playing basketball or whatever, but you got a favorite activity. Share it with us tonight. Who's got one tonight? Someone, some adults, real quick. I see a lot of children. I want some adults. Okay, right back in the back. Hunting. Josh loves to hunt. Okay. Another adult right here, Brandon. Table tennis. Loves to play ping pong. Back in the back. Fish. Okay, now, right over here. Shopping. Thank you so much. That's a courageous lady right there. That's a right here, Katrina. Pardon me? Hang gliding. Oh, ain't too many of those ladies around. Right over here, Beverly. I like to sleep, okay? That's good. All right, now listen. Listen very carefully. I'll bet you Beverly sleeps with all of her might. And I know that Katrina, when she goes hang gliding, she's hanging on with all of her might. I guarantee you that. But there are some things that we do. Anybody here ever read your Bible without all your might being in it? Anybody here ever sang page 479 without all your heart being in it? There's a reward for doing those things. But the greatest reward, the full reward, is with all your effort. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. We looked at that last week. And notice the fourth thing, we can lose rewards if we don't meet the right standard or quality. There are things that we do that maybe we do half-heartedly. We don't really do it to the best of our ability. I'm not telling we put effort into it. We're just, you know, just not really too concerned about it. We get the job done. Children make their beds this way sometimes. And we're trying to teach them to make their bed the best they can. Okay? We're trying to teach them to wash dishes to where they're really clean. Quality. Now, you transfer clean dishes to a clean heart. You teach them that the Lord, I remember teaching Jeremy to wash a car. We were just talking about it the other day. When you wash your car, son, you don't just wash it. I remember one of the times he washed it, he took the rag and he kind of went in circles. And when it looked all wet. When we dried it all off and it dried, there were patches where he missed. How many have ever seen that happen? Okay. Well, he looked at it and went, whoa. And it's not because he didn't put some effort into it, but the quality, learning how to do something correctly, is important. So, if you're going to sing in the choir, I think you can get a full reward for a while just letting her rip. But after a while, you want to sing, let her rip, and blend with everybody else. So you learn how to sing. Quality rises. I think that's what the Lord wants for all of us, that our lives, we can be joyful in the Lord, but there's a point in time when we have to be joyfully godly in the Lord. So those are ways you can lose your reward. Now, notice if you would, too. We'll start tonight. He wanted them to receive a full reward. Notice A. You notice 2, Roman numeral 2, number 2 underneath A is he wanted them to receive a full reward. That's verse 8. And he mentions the word a full reward. So you can lose rewards and then you can get a complete reward. Both of those are involved. So last week we looked at how to lose your reward. Now I want you to get a full reward. So notice A, we can receive full rewards if, blank number 1, we realize everything counts to the Lord. Okay? I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew 10:42. I think this is a verse that pretty well everybody would know, but I want you to read it with me. I want you to understand this. 10:42. And I want you to notice a couple things about this verse. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cold cup of water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So how do you receive a full reward? Well, notice this. I think you get a reward for a cup of water. But did you notice in that phrase what kind of a cup of water? How many of you would prefer to have on a hot day a cold cup of water versus a cup of water? Let me see your hand. How many would rather have cold? How many of you would always rather have a normal tap water cup of water? Okay, there's a few of you. I think when the Lord, we put in the extra effort to think, what could I do to encourage this person the most? That's a full reward. So I think when you're fixing the meal, ladies, you try to fix the meal with the right seasonings in it. You try to fix it so that people enjoy it. It's not that you just put a meal on the table. You're trying to receive a full reward. You're doing it for the Lord's sake. It matters if it's hot, if it's good. Now, I don't think that people in this room can lose their reward unless you say, look, hey, everybody, go out on your own. I'm not fixing anything tonight. I think you could lose a reward for that. But I want you to see it matters, even in quality, a full reward. And it's everything that we do. You know what? That is a reward tonight. I don't know who got it. Somebody got this tonight so that I could keep my voice through the whole message. And it is a hot cup of tea. It's not just a cup of tea. It's just like this, a cold cup of water. So if you're going to give something to a missionary, you would not give them an old suit. You'd give them a new suit. I think an old suit would be a reward because you thought about them. But I do think a full reward is when you give them something you would like. Or you give them something important to you. Or you pray for them in a time that's difficult for you to pray. 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Or when you fast and pray for one of their needs. Do you understand if God noticed a cold cup of water, everything counts? Children, how many know what it means to practice to learn to play the piano? Okay. Jonathan? Where's Jonathan Macheski? Have you practiced before? Or did you just get up and play your violin thing?
No, I haven't
practiced. Okay. Do you know what? There's reward for practice. And so what I'm trying to get you to understand is that everything counts. So when he says, look, I'm an elderly man, and I'm speaking to this elect lady and her two and her children, 3, 4, 5 children, everything counts. Full reward. I want you to receive a full reward. Everything counts. I'm going to send a little note of thank you to my secret prayer partner. Everything counts to try to encourage her. I'm going to send a note to a missionary. Everything counts. I'm going to pray over my prayer list of the 30 cards we got in September for all of our missionaries. I'm going to pray over them, and everything counts. So I would remind you today to receive a full reward. Notice B in the outline. We can receive a full reward if we seek to consistently do all of God's will. Now, you know, there are some people that say, look, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord, but not this one thing. I'll do 99%, but I don't want to go to the mission field. Or I'll do anything you want, but I don't want to witness to my neighbor. You have to consistently do all of God's will to receive a full reward. You cannot take your hand and keep something in it behind and say, Lord, I'll do anything you want but this. It's consistently all for a full reward. And I want to encourage you tonight to receive a full reward. Now, I want you to notice, see, we must be growing Christians so we can do good, is the first blank, and greater things for God. Now, I want you to listen to this verse. You'll recognize it. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So when we know to do good and we want to do a good and better job of it, the Lord says, I recognize that. So it's important that you and I are growing. We're growing in the Lord because how many of you this, follow along with me. How many of you 3 years ago, there are things that you do or don't do for Christ, I mean you did or didn't do for Christ, that you do or don't do for Christ now, and you're farther and closer to Christ now than you were 3 years ago? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? You've got some things in your life that maybe you've given up because 3 years ago, they didn't bother you. Now they do. You're trying to be closer to Christ. Or 3 years ago, you did some things, and now you're trying to do them completely better. I think children, an example, when a child is reading their Bible, we want them to read maybe 6-8 verses or maybe a chapter. And then as you get to be a teenager, maybe you read the New Testament through in a year. And you get to be an adult, you read the whole Bible through in a year. And you grow some more, and you'd like to read the whole Bible through a couple times in a year. Or your New Testament through every 6 months. Or over here, you had a prayer list that had mommy and daddy on it, and your teacher, and over here, you've got 8 people on it. And over here, you're praying for people in the church that you know are struggling because you love them. Your prayer list deepens. So you know what? God can use you to do more for Him when you're over here than when you're a Christian that hasn't grown over here. So if you don't grow, you're not going to receive a full reward. God has a will for you, and His will for you is here in January of 2008, here in January of 2010, here in January of 2014, here in January of 2020. And if you're not here, you're going to be back here, and you're not going to receive a full reward. So Christian growth is paramount to the will of God. That is why nobody in this room can be content where you are. You have to constantly be growing in order to receive a full reward. So tonight, are you growing? Are you doing more this year than you did last year for the Lord? Is your prayer life stronger this year than it was last year? You see, you're always supposed to be attempting to draw closer and closer to the Lord. Now, maybe some of you, you're up and down. But now you're a little older and you're a little bit less up and down. And God wants us to be like this. If all your life you're like this, you're not going to receive a full reward. Even though you're going to look good in this life. God has a perfect will for you. So you have to be in His will and seeking to please Him on a daily basis. Now, how do you get down there? One day at a time, do what God wants you to do in your heart. Obey Him one day at a time. Listen to this verse. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there in a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So daily, Lord willing, I'm going to do this today. Lord willing, I'm going to do this today. And if every day you do the will of God, in 5 years, you're going to be in the will of God. So in order to receive a full reward, you've got to be a growing Christian. Now, I want you to notice B in the outline. This is 2B. Our reward is not based on, listen to this, it's not based on what, first blank, others do around us, but only what we as individual servants do for Christ. So I want you to understand this. Let's read the next phrase. Others cannot stop you from receiving a full reward. That's the reason in the verse here he gives to us, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves is the urging of Scripture. You know, it's an imperative tense that says, you look out for yourself. You be discerning yourself. You yourself are responsible. So let me ask this question. If Susan Pittman has a terrible time with me about something, and she's upset with me about something, and whatever, let's say she's completely wrong, but she's upset with me, does that mean that I can't receive a full reward? No. She cannot stop me from receiving a full reward, nor can I. If I mistreat her, that doesn't stop her necessarily. Now, we can let it affect us. We get mad about things and bitter about things. That will stop us. But nobody can stop you from receiving a full reward except you. Look to yourselves. Everybody in this room, look to yourselves. No matter what your mate or the boss or anybody around you does, they cannot prevent you from receiving a full reward. The only person that can stop David Pittman from receiving a full reward is me. And John here is saying, I want you to receive a full reward. So look out for yourselves. Notice, if you would, in the outline, they are not to accept any false doctrine. It sort of changes thoughts here a little bit. But I think a part of it is this look to yourselves. He didn't want them to lose their way doctrinally. So in verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Notice, if you would, in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? That Jesus Christ is God. Receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And notice in the outline, Roman numeral 3, they were not to accept any false doctrine. I think that affects a full reward. Notice, if you would, A, we are to believe and have fellowship with other believers of the doctrine of Christ. It is primarily that Jesus is God. He is God. So if there's somebody comes to you and says, well, Jesus is a good person, that's it. Our fellowship is over. I'm going to be nice to you and kind to you, but I'm busy. You see, I don't invite them into my house. If they believe Jesus is a good person, if they don't believe Jesus is God, then that's it. Notice, if you would, the importance of this. B, we are not to bid Godspeed to those of false doctrines. Otherwise, God considers us as contributors to their false ways. Contributors. So we hobnob with people that say, well, I believe you, if you're a good person, you're going to get to heaven. Or if you do good things, you know, you'll get to the next level, and then pretty soon you'll level your way up and you finally get into heaven. Contributors. If we say, come on to my house and I want you to, let's talk a little bit together. He's very careful. He's concerned that God's children get caught up in false doctrine. And he's more concerned for your safety than their well-being. Did you get that? He's more concerned for your safety spiritually, that you believe the truth and always believe the truth, than your burden for their soul. So two things you don't do. Invite them into your house, and you don't bid them Godspeed. Lord bless you. Be careful. It's for people of false doctrine. Doesn't mean we're evil to them. It doesn't mean we don't try to share the gospel with them. But these people of false doctrine, and the reason that he's saying be careful is because people of false doctrine already have been indoctrinated and they're not listening to you. So he's more concerned that they twist your thinking, and pretty soon down the road, you believe that Jesus was a good person than they believe Jesus was God. So he said, don't invite them into your house. Now that's very clear in Scripture. Okay, notice if you would. 4, John loved people. He wanted to see this lady and her children face to face and rejoice in the Lord to them. Look at verse 13, verse number 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not with ink and paper, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face. Now listen to this phrase. That our joy may be full. How many of you have ever trying to have full joy over the telephone. Now, I want to tell you this. My wife attempts that desperately. When Jeremy and Mandy are on the mission field, she desperately attempts that. I can tell you that by my phone bill. She really tries to have full joy by talking to them and finding out all the things you're going about. But it's not like face-to-face meeting. And you know, he's just sharing his heart. He says, I look forward to seeing you face-to-face. And if you've got loved ones, you need to spend a little bit of time with them. It's important. A phone call is not sufficient. A letter is not sufficient. If they mean something to you and you love them, you'll have to spend some time face-to-face with them. The more love you love them, the more face-to-face time. Husbands and wives, if you love each other, more face-to-face time. It is important we learn a lesson, simple one, that if you love somebody, you're going to spend more time with them. Now, notice if you would, in 3 John, now this is another book that John writes, but notice what he says he does in verse 1. The elder, he calls himself the elder. He's older, he may be 80-something, maybe 85, 90, and he writes this letter and he says this, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Do you notice that John, he's this guy that loves people. And folks, tonight, we're supposed to love people. It's supposed to be our signpost that we love people. It doesn't mean we're wishy-washy and let people do anything in the world. And you know, it's not grandmother love. That the children can do anything they want to do because they're my grandchildren. That's not true love. You notice he says, the elder and the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Love is always surrounded by the truth. It's always hemmed in by truth. Real love is. That's the reason when you say I love you, you can't run around on them. Because that's untruthful living. So true love is hemmed in by this great truth that we have of Scripture. What's right in Scripture. Now notice with me if you would, Roman number 1, the letter was written to Gaius. A, John loved him according to the truth. And I want you to notice B, Gaius was not in good health. Look in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. Now, I want you to notice tonight, he says, you know, this is the apostle writing under the inspiration of Scripture. He said, I wish above all things that you may prosper. I want you to prosper spiritually and be in good health. Even as thy soul prospers. So understand, his desire was that he could be healthy like his soul was healthy. He said, one of my greatest desires is that you can be healthy like your soul is healthy. Folks, tonight, your children are two parts. You want their soul to be healthy, and you want them to be healthy. Husbands and wife, you want your mate to be healthy, but you want him to be spiritually healthy. Don't just settle for one. John didn't from his friends. You'll notice, if you would, in the outline, see, spiritually, he was a mighty Christian. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 3, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. What a great testimony. You know what your testimony is? I want you to notice D, he had a great testimony of doing right. Now, what is the testimony? Notice number 1. A testimony is this. Listen very carefully. What is a testimony? Others told John that Gaius walked in the truth. That's testimony. Listen very carefully. Others telling me that James Callimore is doing what's right, that's his testimony. Your testimony is what others say about you. It's not what you think about yourself. And everybody in this room, we all ought to be concerned about our testimony. And John was saying things. That's the reason why there are things that I don't do for testimony's sake. Not necessarily because they're wrong, but I don't want anybody to say things that I would do that are questionable. So there are things that I don't do for testimony's sake. Notice, if you would, in the outline, he says, others told John that Gaius walked in the truth. Look in verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came. So that's one way that you build a testimony, is when the brothers in Christ say something about you. What do the brothers in Christ say about your testimony? Are you faithful to church? Somebody tell me the testimony of Paul Bears. Tell me one characteristic about the testimony of Brother Paul. Somebody give me a testimony. Megan? Pardon me? He was very joyful. That was his testimony. He was joyful. Something else. Right here. He was loyal. Boy, he was very loyal to people that he served with. Something else. Testimony. Yes, sir? Tyler? He was godly. He had a godly heart. Most of you don't know this, but the day before he died, he gave one of our teenagers a ride and was concerned about his soul and concerned about his testimony. He just gave him a ride and was talking to him about his testimony and about how he hoped he would really do what's right. He was really, really thankful for him. Testimony. Now, you understand, everybody in this room, you're building a testimony? How many of you know what it means to be in a foul spirit? How many know what the other side of the bed is? You got up on the wrong side of the bed is. How many know what that means? How many know what that idiom? It's an idiom. It's an English idiom in America. Got up on the wrong side of the bed. There's no wrong side of the bed. I mean, if you can get out of it alive, it's a good side, okay? Either way. But what does it mean when it says you got up on the wrong side of the bed? Somebody tell me, what does it mean? You got up on the wrong side of the bed. Yeah. Veronica? Grouchy. Irritable. That is not the testimony for a godly saint of God. Now, how many of us have ever gotten up on the wrong side of the bed and had to look ourselves in the mirror and say, go back to bed and get up on the other side? You see, look to yourselves, remember? For you to receive a full reward. Look to yourselves so that you can receive a full testimony, a full reward. So I get out of bed on the wrong side and I'm in a bad mood and I say, you know, I'm going to lose reward. That's why he said, I rejoice that the brethren said, you walk in the truth. You're doing what's right. Tonight, have that testimony. Do what's right. Do what's right in front of your children, in front of your mate, in front of your people at work, your boss, the people under you, your neighbors. Do what's right. Have that testimony. Notice, if you would, John felt he had a great testimony also. You know, others felt like Gaius had a good testimony, and John felt like he had a good testimony. Notice, if you would, I rejoiced greatly when I heard. In verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know what I think happened? When he said, my children, I believe John, the apostle, led Gaius to Christ. So he said, my children. So he led him to Christ, and he said, I rejoice that you walk in truth. So John had a great testimony, had a great opinion of Gaius also. He knew he was very sick, but he had a great testimony. Now notice with me, if you would, 3 in the outline. John rejoiced in his friend's wonderful walk for Christ. It was one of his greatest joys. Now I want you to reread verse 4 with me. And I want you to understand a principle here. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There are people in this room that I've led to Christ. And I want you to know, I have a great joy. I don't know of any joy that's really greater in my heart than when I see those people coming into church regularly. When I hear them talking about spiritual things. When I hear them raise their testimony about something that God did for them. I save cards that I get from time to time from different people who are saved, different dates, I'll be frank with you. I don't remember the dates people gotten saved. I remember my date, but I don't remember when Susan got saved. I know she was 12. Is that correct? Okay. I just don't remember the date. I know my date. But when I get a card in the mail or somebody calls me and says, hey, I just want you to know what today is. I'm thinking, it's not my birthday. It's not my anniversary. I'm going through the list. This was the day I got saved 14 years ago, 3 years ago. Oh, yeah. And when I see that person coming to church the next Sunday, after that card and that letter, I say, Lord, thank you. Now, let's take this to a parent. You're a parent, and you see your children walking right. Is there a greater joy? No. And so I encourage you tonight, pray, plead, love the people that are around you into a holy walk for Christ. John the Apostle. Now keep in mind, at this point in time, most theologians, most historians think that he had been boiled in oil, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He's going to write Revelation. So if you could picture, he's writing. Now, he said, I'd love to see you again, but, you know, don't know if he'll ever be able to. And I wonder what kind of person he looked like after being boiled in oil. But do you understand? He still cared for people. And tonight, you ought to care about other people's walk in the Lord. You ought to have a burden for other people that they would do what's right. The Christian walk is for you yourself to be burdened and look to yourselves and for you to be burdened for others. You can't take your job to heaven with you, and you can't take your bank account to heaven with you, and the car you rode in, and you can't take the house you live in, and you can't take your boat, you can't take your clothes, but you can take yourself and the people that you love. And they can hear, well done. Tonight, that ought to be our focus. Look at myself. I want a full reward, and I want a full reward for Susan. And I want a full reward for Micah. And I want a full reward for you. That's my job as a Christian, let alone a pastor. Tonight, who are you burdened for? I have no greater joy than to hear that walks in truth. Tonight, I hope you can fill in the blank. And there's somebody on your list. Let's bow heads for prayer tonight. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Tonight, I want you to receive a full reward. What a challenge from the Apostle John. Look to yourselves. I have no greater joy. I rejoice greatly in your testimony. Tonight, I want everybody here to have a great testimony. But you're the only one that can change that. Nobody can stop you. Tonight, no one can prevent you from receiving a full reward. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Dear Holy Spirit, would you give us forgiveness toward each other? Give us love toward each other? Lord, give us a burden to look at ourselves and please you. In your name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed with eyes closed, nobody looking around. As the pianist plays, if you need to come tonight, I encourage you to just step out of your seat and come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to talk to you tonight. There's some burdens in my heart, there's some things in my heart. I want to pray for somebody. Who is it you're burdened for? Who is it you care about? Who is it that your joy comes from? Tonight, I encourage you to put somebody in that blank. I have no greater joy than. You ought to have them on your prayer list. You ought to be burdened for them. But that first person, as you look at yourself in the mirror, look to yourselves. Lord, I want a full reward. I want to be able to look at you and say, I loved you with all of my heart. And that's why I did what I did. We're going to go to prayer in just a moment. I'd encourage you to pray loud enough for your partner to hear, quiet enough not to disturb those around you. And when you're finished praying tonight, slip to the lobby. We have a good crowd tonight. Slip to the lobby and fellowship with folks before you leave to go home tonight. Lord bless you for coming. Take the prayer list out tonight. And just to remind you of one thing you probably don't know on the prayer list, number 46, Bob Reynolds, passed away last week. So we want to pray for his wife, Joanne. So keep that on your prayer list tonight. Lord bless you. Let's go to prayer tonight.